want to say just a few words, and then Brother Quinto will come and preach for us, and ask that you continue to pray for him. You know, there's a verse in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. It says, if any man, Jesus said this, not one of the writers, but Jesus himself, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know, sacrifice is something that is very difficult. It's very hard. That's why it's called a sacrifice. Most of us in this world are willing to make a sacrifice as long as it doesn't infringe on the things that we enjoy, the things that we want to do. I believe that Brother Conrado is one that has come closer, at least in my own experience, in my friendship, my relationship, to making this sacrifice in his life and his wife for the cause of Jesus Christ. I just think so much about him being a pastor and talking to him about his labors and how diligent and how much more he puts into pastoring than I do. And I feel slothful and I feel embarrassed to say the least in the efforts that he puts forward. But as I told some of the brethren this morning, he graduated with a degree in chemical engineering. In that country, you're to take a bar exam like a lawyer in this country to get a license. And he surrendered his life to the Lord Jesus Christ and his service to Christ and forsake that. And in doing so, he was raised in a family that his dad didn't care much for that, and his dad just told him that he would no longer receive an inheritance. You see, we think we have it tough, and we think we make great sacrifices, but as I've become dear friends with this brother, been with him several times in the Philippines, and he's been over here four times. We've come to love them in a very special way, and he's a very humble man, but his love for the Lord is just tremendous. It is. It makes me ashamed of myself and my efforts, because he gave so much. You know, giving up a degree and not going into the secular world and making a lot of money, that would be quite a sacrifice. So I'm very thankful he's here, and I'm very thankful for the example that he has shown in his life and his family and serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and maybe he'd be an encouragement to us. Very welcome. I want to welcome him to the Lubbock Primitive Baptist Church again. He's been there a couple of times. The first time I remember, he was with Gus and about five or six preachers, been a number of years ago, but very thankful that the Lord blessed to him and his wife to come. This is her first trip, and it's quite a change from the culture that she's known in the Philippines. And, they have a little saying between Yolanda and Conrado about how much we eat over here. And Brother Vernon Stanlin took us to eat supper at a Mexican food restaurant in Tyler. And when she got her plate, it was so much food on it, she said she was astounded. Said this would be enough for seven Filipinos, which we didn't eat half the food, none of us did. But, it was she's just been astounded at the portions that these restaurants, and we've ate at many of them, have here in America, the portions, and they're large, and it's been quite an experience. And she said she just needs to control herself. She didn't want to go back to the Philippines with an overhanging belly. That's what they call it. So anyway, it's a blessing to have them in our home, and they're just the lovingest people and kind, and we're so thankful to have them. And Brother Conrado, we want you to come and preach for us now.
Thank you so much, Brother Kenny. But before I speak and before I preach, I think I need water. Which water? Okay, thank you so much, sir. I have a good news for you. My English will only last for 10 minutes. And after that, Lobat, I need to recharge my English. But anyway, Brother Kenny, he is my best friend. Before, I hate this man, but now I love him. He is my English professor. Yeah, English professor. Brethren, if I commit any mistakes in English, don't blame me. Blame that man. He's my mentor. Yeah, one of my mentors. Before I come to the Primitive Baptist, I think I have 5 baptism. First, from Evangelical Church. I was raised as a Catholic. And then, 1980s, I started seeking God through His Word. I'm hungry, I'm thirsty for His righteousness. And one of my friends lent me a book, which is called the New Testament. I read it every day and I memorize it every day. And I seek for a church. Then I found one evangelical church in our place. And I started attending to that church. Then they baptized me. After that, when I read all over the Old Testament, I read New Testament every week, whole New Testament every week. Then I started reading Old Testament, and I found out in the Old Testament, the Lord's church. In Isaiah chapter 40, it says, comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. Behold, he is come. Behold, he shall send his messengers before me, and he shall prepare the way before me. I asked myself, who is this man? Who is this messenger? Once again, after 300 years, the book of Malachi reminded me, he mentioned once again this forerunner of our Lord. He mentioned once again, I asked myself, who is this man? And then from the book of Malachi to the book of Matthew, that is 400 years of silence. And in chapter 3 of the book of Matthew, it says, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he which was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. Here is the man who will baptize our Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles. Now, I believe that name, the word Baptist there, in those days came John the Baptist. It's not from the lips of man. It is from the lips of our God. Christ's forerunner was called by his father, the Baptist. Is he genuine Baptist? Is he the original Baptist? John said in chapter 1, verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He is a Baptist preacher, and I believe with all my heart, he is the first original, genuine, what we call it now, primitive Baptist. Amen? Okay, now, after I saw that, I share it to my wife. Let us go to the Baptist church. Well, we saw one Baptist church there in our place. That is International Baptist, their missionary. Then I'm thirsty, I'm hungry for the word. That time, they baptized me again during that time. And then they challenged me to go to seminary. To their seminary, then to study there. Then I asked the professor, why I am a Baptist? Why we are Baptists? Oh, Brother Quinto, Baptists believe that the Word of God, that the Bible is the Word of God. Oh, other denomination believe that. What is our distinctive as a Baptist? Oh, they don't answer. Then I look for another one, another Baptist, which is Southern Baptist. Then I join to the Southern Baptist, but sad to say, they baptized me again. So I asked, during that time, the Lord showed me the doctrine of election. The Southern Baptists there, they don't believe in election. So I asked my friend, where is other Baptist? Oh, Brother Quinto, there's another Baptist which is very strict and very strong in doctrine. Where is that? Bible Baptist. Okay, I joined to the Bible Baptist there in the Philippines. You know what? They rebaptized me again. Ah. They said, Southern Baptist has no authority to baptize. But we have an authority to baptize, Brother Quinto. You ought to be rebaptized. Okay. Me and my wife, rebaptized again. And after that, I asked my pastor about the doctrine of election. He didn't believe. He said, you know, Brother Quinto, the doctrine of election is not from God. It is from our enemy, the devil. That is in the Word of God, sir. No. If you study that, you will lose your mind. How come that is in the Bible? Then I asked my friend again, where is the original Baptist who hold the true doctrine of God's grace? He said, I know one. That is Landmark Baptist. I go to Landmark Baptist and they preach the doctrine of election. And I told to myself, wow, this is it. This is the true doctrine. And I found the true church, Landmark Baptist. Well, they have lineage from Jerusalem up to the Philippines. Wow, this is it. I like it. But one time, there is a primitive Baptist from America. His name is Gus Harter. My friend said, Elder Quinto, there was a man from America. His name is Elder Gus Harter. And he was a primitive Baptist. What's that? He preached about the doctrine, pure doctrine of the grace of God. Wow, I like that. Then I talked to Elder Gus, would you like to preach in our church? Sure, why not? Preach about grace. I love grace. That time, he preached on John chapter 3, verse 5, or John chapter 3, verse 8, the wind blow it, was listed. Now, I said in my heart, this is true grace, pure grace. Regeneration, there is no means in regeneration except the power of God. God the Father elected his people. He alone elect his people. And God the Son crucified on the cross. There is no one help except his own power. And God the Holy Spirit regenerates his people, God's people, without any means. This is the pure grace of God. And one of our mother church, which is Landmark Baptist. Elder Quinto, I heard that you invited Primitive Baptist preacher here in your church. Yes, sir. Oh, don't do that again. Why, sir? They preach the true doctrine of grace. No. You know, Brother Quinto, in America, the Primitive Baptist there, they have only one service every month. Really? They are straight jacket. They are anti-Namianism. They are hard shell, you know that? Anti-evangelism. I don't know about that, sir. I have not been there. Oh, you must not forget this. They are anti-evangelism. I asked him, sir, why is it that the primitive Baptists here in the Philippines are so rapid when it comes in to growth. They're growing. If they don't believe in evangelism, why are they growing? He was silent that time. Elder Quinto, if you continue fellowshipping with the Primitive Baptist, we will cut your support. We will not send you money. That time, he oftentimes visited me in our church. And they said, Brother Quinto, stop fellowshipping with the Primitive Baptist. I said, sir, Primitive Baptist is a good people, nice people. They have the true doctrine of the God's sovereign, God's grace. They're good people. They're good folks. They believe what we believe. No! They believe that the Holy Spirit regenerates sinner without using this book, without using the preaching of the gospel. In fact, Brother Quinto, if you go there in America, you will see them preaching without Bible. They preach without Bible. How is that? Brother Quinto, please listen to me. Primitive Baptists, they don't believe that preaching of the gospel is the means for eternal salvation. If you fellowship with them, you are forcing me to cut your support. Sir, what is your true reason why you accuse Primitive Baptists that they are heretic? That their belief is heresy? Look, there is only one verse from the scripture, Elder Quinto, that I will show you today. What? Where is that? Open your Bible in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. The Bible said, For I am not ashamed to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. You see, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Do you see that, Elder Quinto? Yes, I saw that, sir. But continue reading, sir. To them that believe it. Sir, the gospel has a power to them that believe it. They are already child of God. That's the reason why the gospel has power to them. Oh, Elder Quinto, you're a Primitive Baptist. Oh, am I a Primitive Baptist because I believe what the Bible says about grace? That time, they cut my support. We suffered a lot. Our congregation was affected during that time. And our offering was, down. Our offering every Sunday that time, when we have a trouble, $2 weekly. We suffered a lot. And then we experienced one noodles for a whole day meal. And my son said, sir, is this the price of our service? Is this the price of the doctrine of grace? I don't know, my son. I don't know. They are crying. My wife and my children, they are crying. They have traumatic experience that time. Every time we meet in our church, we are not happy because of the trouble that's happening in our church. And one of the old members there, they said, Elder Quinto, I want to be honest with you. If they accuse us that we are Primitive Baptists, that we believe what Primitive Baptists believe, why don't we join in the Primitive Baptists? I said, why not? Since if they are our true brethren, our true brothers and sisters, why not we join to the Primitive Baptist? That time, Elder Gus Harter is here in America. And I give him a call. He said, hello, this is Elder Gus Harter from America. Sir, who is this? I'm Elder Conrado Quinto from the Philippines. Hey, Elder Conrado, how are you doing? Well, I'm not doing good. What? He said, what's your problem? Sir, we need to be baptized. Please come, baptize us. We want to join in the Primitive Baptist. He said, Elder Quinto, I'm coming. So that time, he baptized 70 people. We were crying. Even my wife, when I saw her, she cried. When Elder Gus baptized her, because we found that the true church, the true doctrine of the Primitive Baptist. And I thank God. He liberates me from error, from heresy, through the gospel of our Lord. Well, this morning I will talk about liberty. Since many of us experience troubles, sicknesses, and sometimes defeat, obstacles, hindrances, it's like a prison. Prison-like circumstances. Many of us wants to be free in our problems, but I would like to endeavor this morning about grace on liberty. Hello, are you still there? Am I doing good? In Psalms chapter 119, verse 45. David said, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precept. He mentioned liberty. And then in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, Paul mentioned liberty, the word liberty. He said, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. You follow? Now, liberty is dangerous. In fact, it can even destroy us. The human race is simply unable to handle unlimited freedom. When our first parent, Adam and Eve, transgressed in Eden, God had no option but to quickly impose limits upon them because of a fallen nature. Without restraints, our sinful nature would run wild, and all of us would become hopelessly degenerate. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11 says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of man is fully set in them to do evil. Therefore, God pronounced in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Limitation imposed upon us by the curse are actually for our benefit. Though often this truth is not appreciated by many. Take note, God-given restraints are the mercy of God to keep us on course. Yet, when a thorn in our life has served its purpose, God will remove it. When God sees that that we are mature enough to manage freedom, he will deliver us from our prison-like circumstances. As long as we are immature, there's no way for us to release from that prison-like circumstances. But if release is granted prematurely, liberty could be used, as Paul warns us, for an occasion to the blessed. Therefore, God chooses not to free us immediately from all our difficult circumstances. He knows we are unable to handle total freedom all at once. He only promised to drive out our enemies. He only promised to drive us, to drive our problem little by little. A while ago, Elder Kenny Venable read the announcement. Please pray for brother, for sister so and so. She is sick, etc., etc. He only promised to drive out our problems, our enemies, little by little. Little by little, according to the word of God in Exodus 23, verse 20, by little and little, I will drive them out before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 22, it says, and the Lord thy God will put out of those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beast of the field increase upon thee. Now, the God of all wisdom places over us tutor and governors until the appointed time. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutor and governors until the time appointed of the Father. What is tutor and governors in our lives? These are the people and circumstances in our lives that teach, that restrains, that heads us in for a while. That is our tutor and governors. Therefore, beloved brethren, hard work, having to be accountable to others, being locked into marriage, being tied down to a job, and having our wills crossed in our situation that are good for us. Brethren, let me tell you this morning. Confinements are not bandages, as Satan insists. Rather, they are safeguard for us and are working as Christ-like character. Satan's whole desire is to control and bring us into bondage. To accomplish this, he undermines the check that God places upon man. Whatever leads to freedom, Satan calls bondage. And whatever leads to bondage, he calls it freedom. Satan promotes independent and defiant attitude like this, like what young people said in our times, in our days. They said, don't fence me in. Do not put any restriction on me. It's my life, and I will do what I want. Recently, it was a beautiful morning. We took a walk, Brother Kenny and his wife, and my wife, and Molly. I love Molly. I saw a perfect illustration of this point. We walked by a corner house which has a fence in backyard. Inside that fence, I saw little dog. Mom Susanne, she always pointed me, "Oh, you saw that little dog?" "Yeah, I saw it. I saw a little dog, and it was very little. I don't know if that is Chihuahua. Are you familiar with Chihuahua?" So the little Chihuahua began to run up and down the fence, barking. Then I thought I heard him speak a little bit. I think I heard him say, "Let me out! Let me out! Let me out! I want my freedom! I'm tired of being a slave! Let me out! I want to be free! Let me out!" How foolish that little dog was. The big dog had already put his napkin around his neck and said, "Grace." Now, where was the freedom for that Chihuahua dog? Inside the fence or outside the fence? Inside, of course. Maybe if this Chihuahua dog get out of that fence, she has a big trouble for that, a big dog. There are millions of young Americans like that Chihuahua. They said, "Let me out! Let me out! I want to be free! Whoop, whoop! I want to be free!" David said, "I will be free." And in so doing, he became a slave to his passion. Lot said, "I will be free." And in so doing, he became a slave to the sins of Sodom. Samson said, "I will be free." And in so doing, he was bound to the mill with his eyes blinded. Solomon said, "I will be free." And in so doing, he became a slave to lust. Then they are allowed to live the freedom provided by the pens. They live what they think is slavery and are soon captured by those things from without which hitherto were not allowed to reach them because of God's word, God's holy word. This is our standard, our rules. God give us this word as a fence for our protection. What is the whole purpose of our captivity? Israel undergone in captivity. Sometimes we experience captivity in our lives. Sometimes God draws us into awkward circumstances to save and deliver us. In Scripture, captivity represents confinements. It is exile into strange and difficult circumstances. For Israel, it means going to Babylon in chains or bondage, in order for them to be purged from vanity and idolatry. Yet God promised them a return to their homeland and to normalcy. He sent them into captivity for their good, to give them a heart to know Him, according to Jeremiah chapter 24, verses 5 up to 7. This is the whole purpose of captivity. God sent Israel into a captivity for their good. Captivity is grace. Hello? Amen? Captivity is grace. It is necessary ingredients for being conformed to the image of God's Son, to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jeremiah's time, Prophet Jeremiah, the prophet commanded them to submit to captivity, according to Jeremiah 27, verses 12 to 14. It says in verse 12 of Jeremiah chapter 27, I speak also to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all this word, saying, bring your neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. Why will you die, thou and thy people, by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? And verse 14 said, therefore, hearken not unto the words of the prophet that speaks unto you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. The word of God said, bring your neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people, and you shall live. In captivity, we are freed from the shackles that vex our souls. Repeatedly, we have seen young adults fall into the snares of fornication because they insist on having their freedom and living away from home. While resenting house rules and resisting authority, they have fallen into the real bondages: moral sin, abortion, guilt, regrets, bitterness, debt, drugs, and alcohol. But God's law brings deliverance from what? From untoward, crooked, and perverse generation. Amen? They are not legalism or bondage. His commandments are not grievous, according to 1 John chapter 5, verse 30, but guideposts that save us from falling into many sorrows. Freedom is knowing the truth, the gospel. And you shall know the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ said, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him and said, We be Abraham's seeds, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto thee, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. True freedom is in the precept of God. True freedom is when sin does not have dominion over us. Freedom is having a good conscience. It's abounding with love, with joy, and peace, and all the fruits of the Holy Spirit. We can be marvelously free, though confined with difficult circumstances. We are marvelously free. Brethren, do not choose the counterfeit liberty. Do not choose that kind of liberty. Elder Quinto, what is God's purpose on our freedom? What is God's purpose on our freedom? And I am definitely sure, not for an occasion to the flesh. As what great apostle said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. In Exodus chapter 9, verse 13, it said from the word of God, "And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go." What? For what? "That they may serve me." In Exodus chapter 4, verse 23, it says, Let my sons go, that they may serve me." Many of us have heart cries and desire, some for which we have petitioned God for years. I would like to ask you a question about your petition, about your prayer to God. If God were to give you your request right now, would it draw you closer to Him, or would it take you away from Him? Let us consider God delivers His people from bondages. Moses said to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." For what purpose does God deliver His people from bondages? The answer is very clear from His word. He set His people free so that they may able to serve Him and glorify Him. Material blessing. You have that all here in America. But in the Philippines, I share one time to Brother Bernice Stanalan. He said, "Brother Quinto, what is your breakfast in the Philippines?" "Oh," I said, "we have one cup of rice, fried rice, and we have fried fish. That's all." "Oh, is that your breakfast?" "Yes, sir." "Ah, that's terrible." "But you know what, sir, ma'am? The work in the Philippines is growing." "Yeah. It's growing. Every time we have conference in the Philippines, especially when one minister from America, when we heard that one minister from America will come into the Philippines, we contacted each other. "Oh, the American preacher from America will come into our place. He will preach to us. He will preach the true grace of God." "Is that true?" "Yes." And we started, especially in our church, we started giving letters to all students. That letter, the purpose of that letter is to ask permission to their teacher. the letter, it says, permit me to attend. We have a gospel minister from America that will preach to us about the true doctrines of the grace of God. They traveled 1,000 miles in order for them to preach to us. There are bishops, I'm sorry to tell you this, there are bishops from America. Oh, really? Their teacher said, really? Oh, they are bishops? Yeah. What are they doing here? They preach the gospel. Really? Okay. You need to attend to that activity. Okay. I will approve that. And I announced that all who have jobs, ask permission to your boss that you need to attend in our conference, because this preacher traveled 1,000 miles. Oh, we will do that, Elder Quinto. They file to their boss half day work in order for them to attend. You know, one of our members, she asked permission from her boss. Her boss said, no. Sir, they are bishop from America. I don't care if they are bishop. Sir, they will preach the gospel, the true gospel of Christ in our church. I want to hear them. I don't care. You need to work. I'm your boss. Sir, if you do not permit me to attend, I will resign right now. I will resign from my work right now. Okay, if you want to resign, resign. Is it important for you to attend than your work? Yeah. This preacher traveled 1,000 miles. So she attended. When I greet her at the door of our church, oh, sister, how are you doing? Well, I'm not doing good, sir. Pastor, why? I have no job, but I'm happy. I'm here to hear the gospel. Sounds good? Yeah. Many preachers. Sorry. Many preachers here in America, especially when I came here, they apologized for heavy rain. They said, oh, Elder Kingdom, sorry. Our members will not be able to come because of, you know, the rain and the typhoons. Yeah, I know, sir. I know that, sir. It's normal. But deep down in my heart, that is not our case in the Philippines. We experience flood. We experience heavy rain. We experience typhoon. And yet our members bring their clothes and wrap up into a plastic. And they, you know, in flooded area, they come to church. And then if they come to the church, they go to shower, and then they change their clothes and they worship God. Rain is not a problem in the Philippines. A storm is not the problem, because we know we have a great God. We have a sovereign God. He is worthy to be praised and to worship. Material blessings. If God restores health to you, for what will you use your healthy body? If God blesses you financially, will it draw you closer to Him, or will prosperity make you lose your dependency upon your God? Jeremiah, if I am not mistaken, chapter 22, verse 21. It says, I spake unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou said, I will not hear. This has been thy manner from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice. That is God's complaint. I speak unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou said, I will not hear. Material blessings sometimes make you lose your dependency from your sovereign God. Sometimes. I'm not against for material blessing. It's good. Especially when you use that for the word, for the ministry, for the glory of God. The healing of 10 lepers. Are you familiar with that? 10 lepers. In Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19, is the amazing account of the healing of 10 lepers. The Lord healed all 10, but only one returned to give glory to the Lord. All 10 of these lepers were delighted to be healed, yet only one used his healthy body to glorify the Lord. 9 of these men went their own way to use their healing for their own interests. Only one who returned to give glory to God. Remember, in Philippians, if I'm not mistaken, Philippians chapter 2, verse 21, it says, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Very natural. If God granted liberty, healing prematurely. Remember, church brethren, we are set free to serve Him and glorify Him in our lives. King David's high position. The Lord cut of all King David's enemies and elevated him to position of greatness in the earth. According to 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 9. Normally, brethren, we would think what a blissful state to have no problems, to have no enemies. What a blissful state. I have no problems. I have no enemies. We think that sometimes. But in reality, this is a time of great danger. After the Lord had cut off all David's enemies, he soon grew lax and fell into sin with Bathsheba. For this very reason, God is slow to remove all of our troubles, trials, and problems. This is also the reason God left a thorn in apostles' life. For otherwise, he would have been exalted above measure. That's the reason of the thorn in his life. Lest I should be exalted above measure. When a nation sins grievously against the Lord, He gives them over to bondage, slavery, and the oppressions of other nations. According to Psalm 107, verses 10 up to 14, to punish them, to restrain them, and to bring them to repentance. Psalms chapter 90, verse 3 says, thou turnest man to destruction and says, return ye children of men. Return ye children of men. God imposes yoke on individuals or on the whole nation to restrain them and to save them in time. When a nation or people gains their independence or throw off their yoke prematurely, an evil natures run rampant, and liberty is not used to serve God, but self. Always observe whether freedom and independence has helped hinder the spiritual condition of a person or a nation. Therefore, we should thank God for our circumstances and irritations, and trust Him to bring us out of confinements when He knows it will bless and not destroy us. Let us ask God to give us grace so that when it comes, we will be ready for it and it will be used for His own glory. Remember, a beautiful pearl is formed by years of prolonged irritations, not a speedy deliverance. Liberty is dangerous sometimes. It can even destroy us. God has placed limits upon us to keep us on course. If we stay in the confines of His will, we will be safe. But if we insist on freedom that we are not ready for, or if we cross the boundary lines of His word, we will surely have bondage and heartaches. We will experience the pangs of hell here on earth. Do not despise, brethren, your circumstances. Do not despise your pastor. Do not despise your parents. Do not despise your spouse. Do not despise delays. God is in control of all these matters. Our Heavenly Father will cause every problems and irritations in life to work for our good. When we please Him, He will make all things beautiful in His time. And He said unto me in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weaknesses. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Brethren, have you received the freedom that cometh from God with joy? If so, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ. We welcome you. God bless you.
Very thankful for the words of El Quinto and the blessing he has been to me in my life, and the example him and his wife are. I just can't tell you what it means and how much I need to be around them more, but very thankful for the words that God granted him this morning. What a blessing it is to have him here. I know for us Texas grown folks, it may be understanding him is not always the easiest, but I've been around him enough that I don't have much problem. But I hope you receive that. I hope it's a blessing to you, and he's certainly a blessing to me and to the Lord's people. We're going to open the doors of the church and offer membership. If anyone has a desire to have a home in this church, you come forward at this time. We're going to sing a song, and let's start and sing Amazing Grace as our first song. After we sing the first verse, I want to give Elder Quinto the right hand of fellowship. So if you have a desire to come forward, you come at this time, and we'll sing Amazing Grace as our first song, and then Brother Randall will call another song. So.